Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news about the Tennessee Thunder and the USWFL. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawk Radio in the search box.
All right. Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. What a great evening to be on here tonight. I was running a little bit late. We had a little extra workout we do every week for these young girls. We usually have it on Wednesday, but tonight we had it on Thursday because Jennifer's birthday was yesterday, and so we had it today. But, man, what a great week for women's football. Lots of games, lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of things happening. Some of the stuff I talked about the week before, these power rankings and in the WNFC, those teams that was ranked high and we thought was going to be really good. And now all of a sudden they're sort of reeling and they're still up against it. So great week for women's football, no doubt. Before I go, I meant to last week announce the players of the week for week one, that is, in the USWFL. And for the offensive player of the week, we actually had two of them tie, and they go to RVA Tomahawks, and that was Jenna Gray and I can't even read my own right, but Coley was the last girl's name there. I need to look that up better. And then the defensive player also from the RVA was Ashley Wilson, Carly Wilson. So congratulations to them. I meant to announce it last week. Forgot to write it down. Trying to get all this stuff wrote down so I'd have it. And I know that the WNFC, they're doing a little bit different. They haven't got their week. This is a week three for them, or week four for them coming up. Matter of fact, one team has played. This will be their fourth game already this month. So it's actually week four coming up for the WNFC, and they've only got the first 2 weeks of their players that are out. And for the first week, let's see here, it was, I wrote it down somewhere. Angie Patton for the Florida Avengers. She had 9 tackles, 7 solos, 2 tackles for a loss, and 3 forced fumbles. I'll tell you right now, that's doing it right there. No doubt about it. And then they do a trench player, and that was Brittany Osborne, I think. And I think she played for the Oregon Ravens, maybe. And, She had 5 tackles, 2 assists, and 1 sack, and 3 tackles for a loss. So, they're lighting it up, no doubt about it. They had some really good players show out there. I know for a fact that we've watched some of them, and the offensive player was Jasmine. The first week was Jasmine Ballard, 14 carries, 234 yards, and 2 touchdowns for the Washington Prodigy, averaging 16.4 yards a carry. I mean, hell, that's more than most women's running backs will have in a season, probably. That's unreal to have that much going on. So congratulations to all them girls, man. I'll tell you, it's an honor to win an award like that in any league. You know, when you have a great, great game, it's always great to be recognized by the other teams and coaches and your fellow players as well. You know, it ain't just a team thing. People around the league notice it as well. So having a standout game You know, like I said, I know people want to win championships and all that, and it's great, but getting great individual play is exactly one way to leads to that. So congratulations to those girls. And I probably screwed up the names. I was writing this stuff down in a hurry, trying to get it all in there. My writing ain't the best in the world anyway, but that's who it is for the first week in the WNFC. And let's see, week two. I've got week two here. Might as well read it as well, because they don't have week three out yet. So let's see what I got for week two as far as their players. I know the offensive player is Brittany Bushman from the Texas Elite. And, I mean, man, I watched that game. She shredded them. I mean, there ain't no doubt. She had 187 yards, 3 touchdowns, 120 passer rating. It just looked like it was just unreal what they were doing. So I have no doubt that was her for sure. And let's see, Kelly Whitehead or White something of that nature. Whitehurst, somewhere along there, plays for Kansas City Glory. She was a defensive player. She had a bunch of solo tackles and stuff. She was defensive player for week two, and the trench player was Renee. I can't even pronounce that last name, T-R-U-E-A. And she plays for the Texas Elite. They said they didn't give no stats, but she played D-tackle, and they was minus 1 yard running the ball the whole game. So she was part of that shutdown defense, and they balled out and shut them completely down. So that's their players through their week two. Like I said, their week three ain't out, and they're getting ready to actually start week four. And the WFA finally getting started again. They start this Saturday as well. So going to be all kinds of football going on in this coming weekend, no doubt about it. And I'm looking forward to it. I was supposed to go to Cincinnati to watch the Cincinnati take on the Detroit Prowl. I'm not sure if I'm going to get to. My uncle died first of the week, and they're having trouble figuring out when his funeral and all that's going to be. So I'm not sure if I'm going to get to go or not. But that's my plan anyway, to be there on Saturday evening. We're the Thunder's off this week, so we're going to try to get up there if I can to watch the Prowl and the Cincinnati battle it out. And that ought to be a really good game. Cincinnati's 2-0 right now, and the Prowl's 1-1. So it ought to be a really, really good game. I think the Prowl have sort of figured some things out. They were late getting a lot of contact and getting a lot of practices. They were actually, the Detroit Prowl was actually the last team that we got signed in the league, and they were sort of behind the eight ball starting out and knew that they'd probably be slow coming out of the gates, but they won last week 19-0, and I think they might have hit their stride. So should be a great, great game. So that's one game that's happening. Let's see. And they are traveling to Cincinnati. Let me go ahead and announce these while I'm here. And the Michigan Queens is traveling to the RVA Tomahawks. Michigan is 0-2, but they played teams. They played tough. They only lost to Cincinnati 6-0 and Detroit 19-0. They're sort of banged up, shorthanded as well. And I think we can all sort of feel their pain there. Everybody, I know the Thunder's got like 5 players on freaking IR, 3 for broke hands or fingers or something, and a couple have had some serious surgeries. And so, yeah, I think everybody can relate to that. So, nevertheless, Queens go to RVA. And Iron Woman of South Carolina Scorpions go to the Huntsville Tigers. The Huntsville team was off last week, so this will be their first game, and this will be South Carolina's second game. They lost to Tennessee last week, 14-8. So they should be some really good games in the USWFL this week. Some good teams playing. As a matter of fact, them, I got the power rankings for them right here in front of me. And last week, I know that we had RVA as the number one team and Cincinnati as the number two team. But this week, I've got Cincinnati as the number one team. They're 2-0. The RVA is the number two team. They're 1-1. And then the Detroit Prowl, I take it back. I think I might have had Huntsville up there. Detroit Prowl's moved up to third. They're 1-1. And I got Huntsville in there at 4. They haven't played yet, but they're good. And the Thunder is 1-0. They're in there at 5th. Queens are 0-2. They're 6th. They've played some really good teams, played tough. And the South Carolina Scorpions, they're 0-1. And they're the 7th-ranked team in the USWFL. So, it's going to be some good games on here. Nothing set in stone yet. It's still several games left to go to figure out who's going to do what, really. It's always good to win a game. Don't get me wrong. I'm never going to take emphasis off of a game. For week two, the offensive player of the week for week two is from the Detroit Prowl, and it's Brianna Patton. I think they call her Bugs. I think that's what they said. She had 180-plus yards on the ground, 2 TDs and 1 TD in the air. I didn't get the name of the Cincinnati player that's defensive player of the week, but I will get it. And the Iron Woman, the player of the week, was Ashley Miner. And she threw a touchdown pass, had several yards rushing, had 2 TDs dropped. And she recovered a fumble on defense and picked 3 passes off on defense. Had probably 4 or 5 tackles. So she was the Iron Woman player of the week, and she plays for the Thunder. So she had a great game. Hadn't played a game since 2019 when the Thunder won the championship. Was the last time she really played, I believe. She was played some scrimmage or something, but an actual live game, I believe that's the first time since 2019. So, been several years. She's been making the workouts. It's been definitely paying off for her, trying to get her up to speed, get her a lot of reps, get ready for, like you say, everybody else, for this long journey. I mean, when you start out, it's a marathon. It ain't a sprint. Each game's a sprint, but the season's a marathon, and you just try to keep winning those short distance runs, and then you got to finish it off at the end. You got to have enough gas in the tank to win it all when it comes down the stretch. And that's what's so tough about it, football in general, and any sport especially. But you take like basketball, they play 80 some games, 82 I believe. Baseball plays 162 games, and you lose one. I mean, if you win 2/3 of your game in baseball, you may consider you doing great. If you go in the NBA, I'm talking, they consider you doing really good. You're gonna make the playoffs, probably be a number 2 or 3 seed. But in football, you don't get to play 2 or 3 games, and every game you play is really important. You don't get to just, oh, man, we play today, we lose, or we'll let this person rest, we play again this coming week. It ain't like that in football. It's tough, I just tell you. And women's football, it's really, really tough. We were talking to these young girls tonight and telling them they don't realize how lucky they are to get started as early as they are, and for somebody to give them the opportunity to play, and for this organization to take the time and put in the extra work to try to get them up to speed, because their knowledge of the game is not where it should be. They just don't know how lucky they are. And, you know, when you don't get to play every week, and, you know, it ain't like when you're in high school, you practice every day. During the summer, you work out all the time. And I know when I played, we had 2 weeks of two-a-days, or 1 week of three-a-days, and then a week of two-a-days. And, you know, then we went right into practicing every day. I mean, shoot, basically, we practice more in 2 weeks than this team will all year. And it's tough. And then when you're learning on the fly, and you can win a game here and there, it's huge, you know. And if you lose a close game, man, it can set you back if you're not in the right frame of mind. And if you're not prepared, you know, if you're not prepared of what you're going to do if you lose a game. You know, I know this, that, you know, there's only one team in the NFL that ever went undefeated and won it all, and that was the Miami Dolphins. And it's tough to go undefeated in any league and win it. And, you know, so if you lose a game, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, it's what you do after that. Now, I've had seen really good teams win, and they lose one, and then it just, like, devastates them, and they can't get back on track, and then they lose two or three, and, you know, then they fall way down there before they finally hit rock bottom and start coming back up, start winning a few again. So, man, it's tough, and you know what? This women's football is really, really tough. And to keep these young girls and these green girls, not this young, but we got them young and green and in green. It's not young. I'm telling you, everybody I'm sure is in the same boat. Well, probably not Texas, but Texas Elite Spartans, they're probably not in that same boat. But most of the teams are in the same boat. And, you know, it's tough. And you got to hold it all together, and not getting to play ever, you know, all the time, every week. Everybody down to only playing 6 regular season games now. And, you know, so you practice way more than you play. And it's really tough. And it's tough mentally trying to keep up pace and try to win these games. And that's why it's so important to win every game you should win. And then if you happen to win a few that maybe you wasn't favored in, it's that much better. But it's really key to win the games you're supposed to win. So it's just so tough. And I know everybody that's in the sport realizes that, but people that are not in the sport of women's football or been around it very long, they don't really understand how hard it is to keep it going, because it's nothing. I mean, it's the same game as men, but it's nothing like it. We don't get to practice near as much. You don't get to see these players near as much. They don't understand the lingo and, you know, the shortcuts. You're trying to tell them and help them, and they can't imagine somebody over in front of them having to really work hard at it. It's really tough. And, hey, man, to see a team like Texas Elite, Spartans, wow, the way they played. I watched them play the Houston team, and the way they played offense was unbelievable. You know, that's the best offense I've seen. And it was just easy, and the Houston team is pretty good. So they just made it look easy. But who knows? We'll see what happens on out through the year. I don't think nobody in that league has got anything for them. I'd be real surprised if they did. So, one thing I did forget to mention last week, well, I might have mentioned it, but last week the Detroit Proud beat Michigan Queens 19-0. Cincinnati Sizzle beat RVA Tomahawks 30-26. Come down to the last minute or so. If they'd have got it, who knows what would happen. They didn't.
game ended 30-26, and Tennessee beat South Carolina in 14-8 in a turnover fest. It was a real ugly game, just to say the least. But nevertheless, they got the win, and you got, like I said, you got to put a emphasis on winning and winning with these young girls and green girls. It's any way you can get them, you take them. And that's just, you know, work in progress. That's about all I can say. This is a work in progress. And really take each day by day and try to get a little better and work on things. So that's just the way it is, man. It ain't something that I like, but the hand we're dealt, we just got to play it. You know, it ain't always the best, but hey, it is what it is. Last week in the WNFC, talking about Texas, man, they're rolling. They beat Kansas City 41-0. The Atlanta Phoenix, beat the Florida Avengers 30-0. That's two games. They've shut their opponents out. They've scored 90 in two games and haven't given up a single point. That being Atlanta Phoenix. They beat the Florida Avengers 30-0. Mississippi, they're a pretty good team. They beat the Washington Prodigy 14-8. I watched part of that game. That was a slugfest. It was a tough game. Denver Bandits, coolest name in football maybe, women's football. They beat Seattle 12-0. That's a close game right there. And then Utah, they beat the L.A. Legends 26-8. Well, speaking of Utah, we just seen that Gina Magana, I believe it is, was Utah Pro Athlete of the Year. What an accomplishment that is. That's amazing. Congratulations. I'm glad they're recognizing these ladies out there. But now Utah, they also got that youth league, you know, and they're doing great things out there, no doubt about it. I think Utah's 3-0. They started, I believe, 0-3 last year. Changed coaches this year, and they're 3-0. So they're rolling. And then San Diego beat Las Vegas 21-0. So, man, it's each week these teams are, you know, they're starting to separate themselves really a lot in that league. You know, their parity ain't near there of what it is, what I think it should be. You got a bunch of really good teams, and then the bottom's loaded with a bunch of teams that are not so good. So that's and when those really good teams play those bottom teams, it's pretty ugly. And I mean, I know why they do it. It's on the East Coast here, and it's sort of close, but nevertheless, it's pretty bad, though. I mean, you got teams in that league, and with the expectations when you join that league, what you have to have, and I can't imagine just what you got to have just to be in that league financially. Player-wise, where they play, every game you watch is at a really, really nice place. I know in this particular area here in Tennessee, you struggle just to find anywhere to play, you know. And we played at middle school last year. I think we're going to get to play at the high school where we went, where me and Jennifer graduated this year. And as a matter of fact, Ashley Miner, the quarterback, girls player of the week this week, she's an alumni there as well. So it's tough. We played in middle school the last couple of years, and so I can't imagine what all you got to go through just in that league to be able to have a team, and the amount of players and stuff they want you to have, and the way they do things. You know, you just hope, I guess, that you wouldn't have, you know, teams that are putting up 90 against teams that can't even score, you know. And even when they played each other, they only scored 6 points. So, it just is what it is. And I know it's crazy, but, you know, like in the NFL, you got some really good teams, and then those bottom teams are not as good. But that's a little different because they get to draft who they want and go to free agency and get these players and all that. And, you know, for the most part, most of these teams are just out here recruiting and getting whoever they can get. And, you know, you got a team like the Texas Elite Spartans, they're loaded with what I'd call number ones. And these bottom teams got a bunch of number threes on them, maybe a two here and there. But that's why it is what it is. And it's tough. There ain't no doubt about it. I see the struggle myself. You know, at one part during the season, before the season started, I thought the Thunder was going to be just really, really good. And, you know, within a 3-week period there, you lose like 9 players, and all of them of which were maybe not veteran players of this team, but they'd played football and they had knowledge. And so you lose players like that. Then all of a sudden you start having just to plug in players that's never played and get them ready to play. And then when you start getting in contact, then you lose a few more, and then you start getting injuries. And everybody goes through it, I know. But when you got 60 over there, you don't really realize it unless you got about 16 or 17. Then you really realize it. So it's tough. And you know, that's what I'm saying. And in that league, I just, you know, I'm sure they would love to see better parity in it, but as of for right now, you know, I'm gonna read off these power rankings here in a few minutes, and for them, and you know, you probably got 8 or 9, well, you might say 10 teams that are pretty decent, pretty good. Well, you got 3 or 4 that's really good, and then maybe 5, then you got 5 that's pretty good, and then you got 5 more or 6 more that's not really that good. One of them's an expansion team, so you can imagine they're probably going to struggle for a year or two, and rightfully so. You're just trying to figure it all out, trying to get it all together and see what you got, take your bumps and your bruises, and you know, just try to play every week. So yeah, I get it. I can definitely see how that would be a struggle. But you know, when you're a team that's accustomed to winning, no matter how you do it or how you get to that point, it's tough when you know that you're really up against it to win football games. And you know, you lose sleep over it, and you got to figure out, how in the world am I going to get from here to there? You know, and you go down your personnel list over and over and over and over, and you're thinking, hey, I wonder if this person can play here and this person play there. And, you know, like players on the Thunder team, shoot, some of them play 3 or 4 different positions. You know, just had a player learn a new position tonight. May not have to play there, but may have to play there. So it's really tough. I mean, I'm telling you, when you don't have a bunch of players, it's really, really tough. And I'm going to tell you something. I know that the South Carolina team, they didn't have a whole bunch of players either, and they got 2 or 3 hurt as well. But I'm going to tell you something, man. They're tough. They're big, physical, and tough. And I'm going to say that if they put the work in, that I would like to see a team put the work in, by God, they'd be really, really hard to handle. They're big, physical, athletic. And I'm going to tell you something. I told a lot of people before the season ever started, and I know Huntsville don't have very many players either, and the Thunder don't have very many either. That's why they're all in the Iron Woman. Told somebody before the season started that one of the best teams the Thunder's ever had only had 14 on it all year, and it's scary for 2 different reasons. For one, you can't have very many injuries or you're out. But two, if you can keep from having injuries, you're really, really dangerous, because you got 11
12, 13, 14, whatever, you got those mean girls, and they're all used to playing, and they're used to playing on both sides of the ball, and they're tough, and they're ready to play. And I'm just going to tell you straight up, if we only had 11 or 12, it would be really, really tough to pull off what these teams are pulling off. So, yeah, it's scary for both reasons. They can really, really outdo you, or, you know, they're in danger of not having enough to play. And that's scary for two different reasons, and I don't like either one of them, I'll just be honest with you. I was in that, and the first year the Thunder had a team, there was dang 8 games. So, you know, you had to – now there's only 6 games, so you had to bite your teeth and hope for the best for 8 weeks instead of 6. So it's tough. And, you know, some of these other teams as well, I know Michigan don't have a bunch of players. I know he thought he was going to have, and once they started hitting, they started falling off too, and they got stuck without having a lot of players after deciding to play in the mid-majors. But what I watched is really, they're pretty good. I know they're real athletic, and they were pretty good. And I'd say if they hadn't lost a few of those players, they'd probably be right in the mix. I mean, they've held their own 2 weeks in a row and sort of been shorthanded. So I'd say if they had more players, they'd be a team to reckon with. And they still might. I mean, it's still early. I know they still 4 more games left, so they can definitely turn it around. This week will make – they will have played all the teams once this week. So you're going to get a feel for what's going to happen. And, you know, the home teams are winning, I think. Well, I believe that the Cincinnati beating the Queens and the Thunder beating the South Carolina's only 2 road wins they are so far in the USWFL. So that home field is really, really looming large right now. So it's really tough. The defensive player of the week for the Cincinnati team is Shiloh Austin. That's for week 2, which we just completed. So they are the USWFL defensive player of the week for number 2, Shiloh Austin. So that's those. I knew I'd be getting it, but man, it's tough, like I say. So we're, you know, everybody's excited. It's still, like I said, still early. Everybody's still got a chance. Nobody's out. But we're starting, you know, to figure it after this week. Everybody's sort of going to be have played everybody one time. And then you know what you got to do and whether you're going to be on the road or playing at home. And you know, you got to get ready. Then you know, get a playoff game. And then you see who win a championship. So that's what you play for, man. And just thank these teams, like these new teams, RBA, just starting their brand new team. Detroit Proud, their brand new organization. Michigan, Queens have been around for a year or 2. Cincinnati's Sizzle's been around for a long time. South Carolina Scorpions, their brand new team. Huntsville Tigers, been around for a long time. And Thunder, they've been together since 2015. So, everybody's going to get an opportunity to see what they got down the stretch. You know, like I said, there's no sense in urgency or panic now. Well, urgency is always there for me, but no sense to panic. You know, it's still got a lot of football left to play. And, you know, especially if you're playing these teams close. I mean, you're getting blew out 60-0. Now it's over for you, but, you're playing these teams tough, man. You know, you're only losing by 1 score game or a couple score games. You've got an opportunity. You know, you're in there. A ball bounces your way. You know, I told some girls the very, very first year that the Thunder won a championship,
you know, and everybody, as you get playing and you're getting better, and, you know, first thing players are all, man, it's the year to, you know, win a championship. And I, you know, what I told them was, listen, three things have to happen. Two, one is you have to have a good schedule. Two, you have to stay healthy. And three, you have to get some of the breaks. I mean, and what I mean by that is we all know how football can bounce, and that thing will take some lawless bounces at the unexpected times, and you got to be able to get a lot of them. It's got to bounce your way and things roll your way, and if all that happens, you got a good chance to win a championship. And that's just those things, those three things that you really can't control. So that's three things that have to go your way that you can't control. And that's the schedule, injuries, and that ball, it's on the ground, bouncing your way, just whatever here and there. And that's the truth. You sit back and think of, then the rest of it, you got to go play. And, you know, if especially if the teams are even, then it really, really goes back to, you know, staying healthy and that ball bouncing your way. And if you go back and look, that's sort of the way it happens. So anyway, that's where that is. Let's see here. Go back to this WNFC and let's see what games they got on store this week. So again, I said this is week four for them, because the Florida Avengers, they play at Tennessee, and they're getting ready to play their fourth game. So, let's see. I believe that's right. I think it's their fourth game. Anyway, they play the Tennessee team at Tennessee. Denver plays at Kansas City. I'd say that's going to be a really, really good game. I know for both of them, they can't afford to lose a game. They're both 1-1 right now. So if they lose, then they're going to be 1-2 and fall behind in that bracket, that side of the bracket. And then you got Houston at Mississippi. I think that's going to be a really, really good game. Mississippi's pretty good. They just beat the Prodigy and actually put several points up on the Texas team. And I watched a little bit of that game early when they played Texas, and they actually had a chance to take the lead in that Texas game and messed around and fumbled or something. And that's something you can't do against those good teams. You cannot just keep giving them – well, you can't give them any opportunities. I mean, you have to play flawless when they're that good and take care of the ball. And like I said, things got to go your way. But they had a chance. So that will be a good game. Houston at Mississippi, Denver at Kansas City. You should mark both of them down to watch. And then we got the Oregon at L.A. And let's see. We got Prodigy, Washington Prodigy, playing the Philadelphia Phantom. I think they've done played once. And then we got Las Vegas at Seattle. So there's some pretty good games right there. I believe the Florida and Tennessee game is going to be a better game than what maybe people think, because Tennessee went to Florida and played in a downpour, and they kept trying to throw it. And when the rain quit, they was able to throw it a little bit. So I think that may be a better game. It's at Tennessee this time. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Trojans get their first win this week. Would not surprise me at all. Now, I have not watched Denver play at all. I have watched Kansas City play, and I'll be honest, I'm a little let down on how Kansas City's playing right now. And if Denver beats them, I wouldn't be surprised, but I just don't know enough to pick that game. I'd like to think that the girls I know on the Kansas City team would ball out and take control and win that football game. But, you know, I don't know a bunch of them, just a handful. Then I think Houston and Mississippi game. Houston, pretty good. I think they got some really good players. That Mississippi team, they've got some really good players as well. I know they got a player from the Texas Elite team, and then they got that girl that's been playing quarterback for Mississippi. I don't know why. She might be playing receiver or running back. She's a really, really good athlete. So those three games right there, Florida-Tennessee, I think will be a low-scoring game. It was a one-score game last time. That wouldn't surprise me if it's that again. Denver and Kansas City, I'd say it's going to be, I don't know, just to be honest, who's going to win, but I think that'd be a two or three touchdown game. They'll both probably score some points. And then I think Houston and Mississippi team might be I was going 40 and over on both of them combined is what I think. And I'd say the Tennessee and Florida game's a one-score game. The other games are the out west teams, and I know absolutely nothing about. And I haven't got to see any of them, I don't believe. And I think, the Washington Prodigy and Philly game, I think Washington Oregon and the L.A. game and Las Vegas and Seattle game, I don't know nothing about them. So I'd be real surprised if those were very high-scoring games as well. So we'll see. I know this time, a couple days from now, we will know a lot more than we do right now. No ifs, ands, or buts. Like I said, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I'm going to get to go to the game this weekend in Cincinnati. I know they play, if it's where we have played them before, they play at a super nice facility up there. So I've been looking forward to going, but like I said, that's some unfortunate things that happened, and I may or may not get to make it, but I'm definitely looking forward to it if I get to go. So hopefully the weather's going to be good. I haven't even looked to see what the weather's supposed to be. So I know the weather last weekend for the Thunder Scorpions game was perfect. We played on a grass field, and I loved it. Like them old crowns in those fields. It was a great game. I mean, it's a pretty nasty game, but any game you play is a great game. But it was great to get a lot of experience for a lot of players. So maybe the weather will be good this week. I hope so. You practice and all that, and some weather, something we can't control, but it sure is nice to play in pretty weather when you can. So let's get down to these power rankings in the WNFC, and I have nothing to do with these, just reading them straight from, I wrote them down, they come from them, but no ifs, ands, or buts for me that the top three teams are definitely the cream of the crop. I've watched Texas play probably, full game if you combine all the quarters up. I've not watched the full game, but I watched them play in three games. So, or two games. I'm sorry, I didn't watch any last week. I'm telling you a lie. In two games. So they are definitely the number one team. Unless something just really, really bad happens and they lose a lot of players or something unforeseen happens, there's nobody going to slow them down. I mean, they're that good. They're really, really that good. I mean, they are fun to watch play. And unreal, just to be honest, that one team could be that much better than everybody else, but it is just that. They are better than everybody else. I'd like to see the best teams in the country play each other, and they would be one of them, and probably the Boston Renegade would probably be the other one. I'd like to see those two teams meet and play because that'd probably be a heck of a game. Probably never happened, but that would be one heck of a game. I'd go watch that. Then at number two, we got the Atlanta Phoenix. The game that I've seen with them was when they played Tennessee. I watched part of it, and it was, man, it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't even close. It looked like a high school team playing a middle school team. It was that bad, and they hung 60 on them, and they hung 30 on Florida this week. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, both of those games was on the road. I could be wrong. I know the Tennessee game was on the road. If I'm not mistaken, the Florida game was on the road. So they've been on the road, played two games, and scored 90, and have not given up any. So they're for real. Then you got the Utah Falcons. They're 3-0. They've took it to these teams. Let's see what they did last week. They beat LA 26-8. So three possessions. They won that game. Yeah. So yeah, they would be my top third team. I mean, right now, in my opinion, if I had to guess them, those three teams are definitely hands above the rest of them. And then we got the Mississippi team. I'm telling you, they're good. I think we're gonna find out more about them this week. If they beat Houston, then I'll be for sure that they're right there where they belong in number four spot. So they did the Washington Prodigy. So that's a lot. You know, they beat Prodigy 14-8. I think they put up 20 on the Texas Elite, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere along there. And then we got number five. We got the Washington Prodigy. I know they've played, I believe, Philadelphia once, and then they lost to Mississippi. Now they're playing Philadelphia again. They're pretty good. I don't know how good. I'm not sure that they're that number five team. I know when I believe they have to play Atlanta. If they have to play Atlanta, then we're going to see just how good they really, really are. So right now I think they're probably right close round about where they need to be, number five. Number six, we got the Kansas City Glory. Now, told me before the season started that they were 2-1 and really on their heels, looking at, hey, they could be 1-2 really easy. I mean, Philadelphia give them all they wanted, come ace and winning that football game. They beat Florida pretty good, but Florida traveled a long way to them. They beat them pretty good, and then they just got waxed by Texas. I'm not sure how good they are. I'm just not. I think we'll see this week. I think those two teams, Denver and Kansas City, are sort of evenly close to being evenly matched. So I think that'll be a good tell. We'll tell. They'll either stay where they are, or they're gonna slide a bunch, in my opinion, in the power ranking. Then we got the San Diego team. What are they? The Rebellion. Let's see what they do. Let's see what they did last week. They beat 21-0. So, but Utah beat them the first week. So, I think they're pretty good. I think they're going to be all right come down the stretch. Then we got number seven. We got Houston. They beat Denver the first week, and then they got waxed by the Texas Elite team. Matter of fact, I think they only scored on a kickoff return or a punt return, something along that matter. So against the Texas team. So we'll see how good they are. They play the Mississippi team this week. Like I say, there's some really good games there. There's going to be a lot of movement one way or another in the power rankings in the WNFC. That top half of that bracket's gonna be tough to see who's fighting for those second, third, and playoff spots, because I don't know where they break or how they exactly do theirs. But I know in the past they've took four on each side, so it's gonna be a dogfight. And then at number nine, we got the Denver team, which, like I said, we're going to see how good they are. They play Kansas City. And Houston just barely beat them. I believe it was 8-0. So that was a really, really close game. Let's see. Then we got to the number 10. We got Las Vegas. Let's see if Las Vegas won a game last week. No, San Diego beat them 21-0. So they're ranked pretty high to number 10 to be that record, I guess. Then we got number 11, Seattle. Seattle, they play Las Vegas this week. They're hosting Las Vegas, so let's see what they did last week. They got beat by Denver 12-0. So there's some good games right there. Man, that's a lot of defensive games. I'm telling you, I'd like to, you know, it's odd, before I get off sidetracked, the Thunder broke the scoring record in the first year they had a team, and now they bless you to score. So that's how turned around football can be. You lose a player here and there, and you few injuries here and there, and you go from being able to score on every play to hit the ground just to score. So it seems to be a lot of these teams are in the same boat as well. Number 12 in the power rankings, you got the L.A. team, L.A. Legends. They're hosting Oregon this week. They should get a win there. Oregon is not really that good at all. I've seen them play. Number 13, we got the Florida team. They beat Tennessee to get a win. They got them ranked ahead of Philly, and I just don't believe they're better than Philly. I know Philly's probably getting ready to take their third loss, but my God, one's to Kansas City and two's going to be the Washington Prodigy. And Florida's going to be, they're 1-2 right now. And I wouldn't doubt if Tennessee don't beat them. So they could slip to 1-3. And this is their fourth game in a row this week. Hey, that's pretty tough. I'll just tell you right now, for any team, they're the only team I believe that's played will have made four games in 4 weeks. That's pretty tough to do. Then at number 14, we got the Philadelphia team. I think they're a little better than that. I just think they've had a tough schedule. Number 15, we got the Oregon team. The game I watched them play, and I believe it was against Utah, it really wasn't a game at all. But Utah's really good, so it's hard to tell exactly how good or bad they were because Utah's pretty good, and Utah just sort of lit it up that night we watched them play. It wasn't even close, to be honest with you. It was a domination from start to finish, so I don't believe Oregon's that good at all. And last, number 16 is the Tennessee Trojans. They got they didn't play last week, so I guess they're 0-2. Got a chance to get their first win this week. I'll be honest, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't get that win. I'm being serious. I watched a lot of that Florida Tennessee game and all that rain, and their defense played really good. I mean, the whole game was played on their side of the 50 for probably three quarters or more of that game. So their defense played pretty good in a rain-soaked game. Florida looked like they could run the ball on them at times, and then they'd go to trying to throw it and quit running it, and I don't know. I just seen that, to come back after giving up 60 points and coming back and fight as hard as they did says a lot about them, says a lot about somebody in the organization to man up. I mean, I've been on one side of the bad side of those lopsided losses, and it's no fun. And I'll tell you, it's what you do after them. You know, it's what you pay. It's digging deep and from there on and seeing what you can get done and moving on to the next game. And shoot, they got 60 hung on at home. went to Florida and only gave up 6 points, and was really close to picking up a first down on fourth down at the end of the game to maybe force overtime. So playing at home, not having to travel to Florida. If the weather's good, I'll be honest, I'm going to give the nod to the Trojans this week. I think the Florida team, like I said, this is their fourth game in four weeks, played a physical, tough Atlanta team last week. I wasn't out there, not sore and banged up. I think Tennessee's got an extra week of practice and preparation. I think because the game's home and if the weather's good, just with all the factors in it, I think they're going to win that game. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're 1-2 and team B 1-3 after this week. So we'll see. There's lots of games could change these power rankings in the WNFC and in the USWFL as well. I mean, man, there's games that can be won by anybody. You know, that's the thing. It don't have to be. You know, it ain't a fluke. You win a football game, it ain't a fluke. You have earned it. You'll did something to control the tempo, to win the turnover battle. You'll did something to earn that game. So I wouldn't surprise me that a lot of these teams that are expected to lose if they don't win. And then, like I said, it's for them. For some of these teams, it's their third game. One team, it's their fourth game. You know, for the Florida team, their season's three quarters over. You know, and for the rest of them, it's half over. You know, so it's I ain't gonna say it's now or never, but you know, like I said, it's down there to the nitty gritty. You can't waste a bunch of time. So we'll see what happens, man. I've enjoyed being on here tonight, talk about all these teams and give these women their. Just deserve what they deserve on here. Nobody wants to give them recognition. If you ever go to a game, I tell everybody, if you ever go watch a women's football game, you'll be hooked. And I really believe that. It's just getting better. It really is. I know a lot of things set us back and a lot of things we got to work on. And, you know, we got to realize as coaches and as owners and as players, and I say it every week that, man, no matter what you think, we're all in it together. I heard already some teams in other leagues forfeiting this week. That kills us. That hurts us all, women's football. Yeah, they're not in our league, not in WNF, but it hurts us. It hurts women's football, you know, and these teams just don't take it serious enough, and you try to, you know, figure out, do anything you can to keep from forfeiting a game and go play, no matter if you're shorthanded or whatever. Hey, you going and playing, you know, I know a team that went shorthanded and played, and the other team won, and you know what? They were like, hey, man, we're glad they showed up and played and fought and scratched, and it was a great game. And you know what? There's a lot to be said for that, and I can appreciate that, and I hope that, you know, we learn a lot from that. And the next thing is, it's not personal, you know. You want everybody to be professional. You want people to think, whether they know or not, and especially you get these new organizations, they don't know as much. But organizations have been around forever. They got to lead. They got to be leaders in this, you know, and take responsibility and have a good showing and with their team and their fans and women's football in general. And if you're traveling, you know, a team hosting and being good host and helping you out, it has nothing to do with you winning a game. You know, the best team mostly is going to win, or at least that day. And there's a lot to be said for that. So, you know, I want us to stop and think and look at how much we can learn from all this and learn that it's not personal. It's really not. You know, it's a game we all love, and you know, everybody tries to win. You're just trying it different ways because you got different coaches and different personnel. So, you know, it's tough. And but we're all in it together, one way or another. So, had a lot of fun on here talking tonight. Look forward to it next week. Hopefully, I can have watched the game and can talk about that a lot. I'll have the more players of the week and all that stuff. And I like doing these power rankings. I'd like to, get something really going on them to get competitive. I need to watch more of those games. It's hard to when your team plays the same time they play, but I'd like to know more about them than what I do. But nevertheless, hey, again, I thank JC Alt Sports Network giving me this opportunity. Without her, it wouldn't be possible. You know, I never dreamed all those years ago that here I'd be sitting here today, but I am. And her to thank for it and me just get on here and rattle and Jim for getting me all these stats and getting me ready and all that stuff. So thank you, ladies, again. And next week we'll be on here on Tuesday. I've just found out Thursday's got something going on, so we'll be on Tuesday next week. So we'll be a couple of days early. But I look forward to it. And until next Tuesday, we'll see you then.